From NPR News, I'm Tony Cox. On Tuesday, January 4th, members of the 109th Congress will be sworn in on Capitol Hill. Among the freshman representatives will be Emmanuel Cleaver, who will represent Missouri's 5th Congressional District. Congressman-elect Cleaver already knows Washington well. He began his career in public service more than 20 years ago, serving on the City Council of Kansas City and later becoming Kansas City's first black mayor, serving two successful terms. When he's not serving his constituents, he has been serving God as senior pastor of St. James United Methodist Church. I'm pleased now to welcome Congressman-elect Emmanuel Cleaver to the show. He's at member station KCUR in Kansas City. Nice to see you, Congressman-elect. That has a nice sound to it, doesn't it?
Well, it's not a bad sound, and it certainly sounds a lot better than unsuccessful candidate Emmanuel Cleaver.
It certainly does. And you know what? I am sure that you are the only person from Waxahachie, Texas, to be elected to the United States Congress.
You are absolutely correct. And in fact, I wouldn't vote for anybody who lived in Waxahachie.
Well, Waxahachie, okay. Now, this is a new arena. What do you think you can accomplish?
Well, it's going to be a difficult term. The 109th Congress, particularly those of us on the Democratic side, are going to have a difficult time because the Speaker of the House has already declared that he would not bring anything to the floor unless he already had the votes, which means that there will not be a debate or discussion. And while that certainly is going to hurt Democratic representatives from around the country, actually it hurts the entire country. And so with that in mind, it becomes very, very difficult for a new member, or for that matter, any member of the Democratic Party to have any kind of major impact on legislation or on the direction this nation is going to take. And so we've got to, in my estimation, find niches where individual members of Congress can work and try to make a difference. I'm hoping that I can do that with Homeland Security. As a former mayor, I have a perspective, I think, that is quite different than any other member of the Homeland Security Task Force or committee, whatever it ends up being called. And then certainly with small business, because African-Americans and whites, for that matter, and Latinos are having a very difficult time with small businesses. And we need to make sure that we have as much in the way of federal support for them as possible.
You know, you mentioned small business. As mayor, you were credited with bringing, in fact, big business to Kansas City. But now your job is a little different, isn't it? I mean, Social Security, health care, education, tax policy, these are things that you have to look out for your district. That's a different approach, isn't it?
It is a different approach. And one of the most difficult parts is when I was mayor, I could say, I want a stoplight on the corner of Wabash and 33rd Street. And I would see it in my lifetime. In Congress, it just takes infinitely longer.
It certainly does. Let me ask you this. One of the issues that I think you are particularly well situated to discuss with us today is the one of the blurring of the political and religious lines in government and in politics. You come from a long line of ministers, and you yourself are an ordained United Methodist minister. How do you separate your religion from your politics?
We should never allow our theology to trespass on public policy. And during my term as mayor, I believed very strongly in trying to continue to have the wall that Benjamin Franklin and others constructed between the church and public policy. I think it is very dangerous. When we run for office, we need to run for office on the basis of what we can produce for the voters. And the voters are many, from many diverse religious backgrounds, and we cannot impose any of our religiosity on the public. The whole point is this. Whenever the government and the church sleep together, it is the church that rises up the next morning without respect.
You've been in public life and as well as with the church in a parallel role for many years, but why did you decide to run for Congress? And what did your congregation say about you giving up the pulpit?
I had to, first of all, get permission from my bishop. Then I went to the local congregation and received permission from them. I was under a great deal of pressure from the Democratic Party because they felt that we might lose this seat, the Democrats might lose the 5th congressional seat, unless we had a candidate who could withstand over $4 million of hits coming from the Republican opponent, who was quite wealthy. And I initially said yes because I didn't want to lose the seat. After I got into the campaign and began to discuss all of the issues from the war in Iraq to Social Security to affirmative action, I realized that I had something to offer and then became even more seriously committed to winning the seat. I have agreed to remain on as the senior pastor of St. James, albeit under new circumstances. Congress does not allow for any person to receive more than 15% of the congressional salary outside of Congress. So anyone elected to Congress can only receive, in addition to the congressional salary, $22,000. And that was done, I think, to discourage poor folk from running. So I will remain as the senior pastor of St. James, earning $22,000 a year.
Well, here's my final question for you. A lot has been said, and I'm sure that you have heard this phrase that I'm about to read to you, black leadership void. Does that sting as a person who would be included in that group, not necessarily personally, but you are a black elected official? When you hear that, does it bother you?
Yes, it bothers me, but it bothers me because if there's a void, it's in leadership around this country. And I think, you know, when you look at 435 members of Congress, the president and the cabinet, to say that that void is just black is to completely overlook what I think most historians would say is a lackluster bunch of leaders around the country, most of whom are not black. Now, we have people who are African Americans who are providing enormous leadership. While I didn't agree with the Bush policies, I have always felt and still believe that General Colin Powell wasn't a remarkable leader. He's a soldier. He went along with the administration and finally left, thank God. But he was a powerful leader. When you look at the Black Congressional Caucus, some of the most renowned people in this country are serving. So we have, I think, a huge, huge stable of leaders in this country. If people are suggesting that we don't have Martin Luther King, I agree. And I also must add that there will not be another Martin Luther King who can galvanize the support around the country. But there are little people, little kings, if you will, in local communities all around this country.
Congressman-elect Emmanuel Cleaver joined us from member station KCUR in Kansas City, Missouri. On Tuesday, he will be sworn in to the 109th Congress. Congressman-elect, thank you very much for being with us today, and congratulations and good luck.
Thank you. Good to be with you.